Mando's got his headphones off. I know why. Yo, yo, yo! What up, what up? Good morning, good morning. The headphones up. Because last night he texted me, yesterday morning he texted me, he's like, dude, I can't do this, it's too loud. And I didn't realize my knob was up and I was screaming on the his ears. Like, he didn't, I can fuck it. You tell me, dude.
This is going to be a permanent thing, I think, from now on. I don't trust it.
I just look. Whoa, hold on. Actually, that was you. Whoa.
Me?
Yeah, no, it's because of the, because this went close to that. There you go. I won't scream. Okay. Yo, 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 what up? Good morning, GMG.
That's what it was like yesterday.
Friday. No, I did have my knob up two notches above, and I screamed really loud, so yeah. I obliterated your ears. I apologize for that. But anyways, Friday. Is it better now? March 15th, 2024. Look at that. Another beautiful day to have a beautiful day. I got my co-host in the house. I was Mando, how are you guys doing this morning? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, man. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am doing very well this morning, actually. Thank you for asking. Doing very well. Ovi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Just the same old, really.
You love that sweater, huh?
It's honestly, it's a really good hoodie. I don't really wear hoodies.
I can't wait for mine.
And usually when people send you stuff, I'm like,
yeah, no.
Whatever, you don't pick it, so it's never usually something that you like. And this is not something I would usually wear, but it's just so comfy.
I love that. I saw Batsoup. I saw Danny. A lot of people, like, I guess a lot of people got it. I'm waiting for mine. You know, I heard through Bernie that we're actually going to be partnering with them at some point on the show. So I'm waiting for my sweater. I'm waiting for my sweater. It's going to look good in the spring too. Spring colors and everything. It's a lot of fun. Anyways, big day today on the show, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot happening today. As usual, we're going to be giving also a lot away. As the boys will be doing the market report, I will go fix our little robot loot boxes. We are doing two loot boxes at the end of this. Hold on. One second. Sims, is this working? Oh, sorry. I thought you sent us something else. My bad. We're good. So anyways, we're going to be doing two Rulebit loot boxes at the end of the show. Shout out to our partners at Rulebit. We're going to get Nate Alex come talk about, you know, just Nate Alex come kick it with us because we love Nate. But also, shout out to him. He gave three allow list spots to Rec Guy, three allow list spots to Rug Radio. So those were handled, I think, by Bernie. But he agreed to come and give one other Native's NFT allow list spot on this show today. So we're going to be giving that as well. I know it's highly anticipated. You absolutely love to see it. And as usual, we will be going through market report, et cetera, as we keep it going. And then, you know, as usual, we're live on video, on audio, et cetera. And boys, as of today, I know Sims is working on it right now, but I'm pretty sure that we are going to be streaming live on Binance Live now, the show. So, so welcome and shout out to all the new listener and watchers, viewers of FOMO Hour or Rug Radio. You know, looks like we're about to, you know, looks like the numbers are going to be 10xing. You know, looks like we're about to really kick it off here. So not just our coins, we're also our wonderful morning show that we host every single morning, Monday to Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is also recorded and reposted across all platforms. I do have to remind them of that because we're probably getting a bunch of new people. So super cool to see. Love it. Love the growth. Shout out to the team. It's freaking awesome, boys. We're getting bigger. I don't like that. You know, the morning show's starting to become quite the thing. You know, it's almost like we like hosted 600 of these. To get to this point, I don't even know at this point. Surely it's closer to 700 even. Like I keep saying 600, but this is episode 80 of FOMO Hour. So there has been hundreds of episodes of the other ones before that. But anyways, without further ado, why don't we get right into it? I feel like there's a lot to talk about on the market side, Mando, between the crash of all the coins yesterday, Solana bouncing back pretty well, BOM going to the fucking moon and everything going on. Let's kick it to you.
Who is the man, Macro Daddy of the land? Can you dig it?
GM, everyone. So we had a bit of a sell-off, actually, for the first time in a while. And this wasn't just a wick down and immediate retrace. Like, we had a bit of a sell-off yesterday just before the show, and then we kind of retraced back, and then a bit more of a sustained sell-off as the day went on. So Bitcoin kind of, when I woke up, so everyone was asleep, yeah, it went down to around 65, 66K it was in terms of wicks. And this did feel slightly different because it, like, this has been sustained. Like, it wasn't just, oh, liquidations cleared out. This was, it felt like a TWAP selling out of a position yesterday evening, and then went into kind of sustained this morning. So people are definitely a bit more wary about this sell-off than some of the others. This didn't just feel like a flushing of excess risk-taking. This felt like, right, just be a bit aware, because we've moved quite a lot, and if somebody's or if multiple people are starting to sell decent chunks, then you've got to be on your toes a bit more. So definitely a bit more cautious today. I think it probably means that, you know, the 100K by end of Q1 seems unlikely, but it feels like we could be in for a bit of a range bound trading session here. So whether that's between 60 and 70, or I don't know, low 60s and low 70s, something like that, I think we could be here for a little bit now. What caused it? It's a little bit difficult to say. Like, yesterday there was that slightly hot inflation print that came out of the US, which meant that it basically means that interest rates are, it's slightly less likely that the Fed will cut interest rates as strongly as they were meant to. But the rest of the markets didn't really move that much. So, like, stocks didn't really move that much lower. Interest rates moved slightly higher, but things like gold didn't really move. So I think it was more just that was one thing that set off maybe one seller, and then it felt more flows. Like, the way that Bitcoin was getting sold yesterday, particularly in the evening, really did feel like somebody was just T-whopping out of a very big position. We kind of bounced slightly, and then we went back and dipped and touched the lows again. So there were a decent amount of liquidations, 600 million, roughly. To put it in perspective, when we had that big wick 10 days ago, there was over a billion of liquidations. So it was smaller. The market wasn't taking as excessive risks as it was a week ago. And funding and open interest have both dropped off pretty significantly since then. So it's a cleaner market right now. Mm-hmm. I think the people have been rewarded by just buying dips in this market.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to be a bit more cautious of this time. That's what I would say. Like, just the way that it sold off hasn't been like, if you look back even over the last like 2 months, every single time we sold off was basically in a day, and then we immediately bounced. And this wasn't really like that. I just, someone who looks at the market every single day, this felt like actual selling rather than just, all right, somebody's just tried to take out all the leverage and then buy it back. So I'm definitely more cautious on where, like, that we're not just going to randomly do a 2x here. Feels like people will now trade between those. There's still obviously money to be made in those sort of environments, and often when Bitcoin gets in those environments, you can sometimes have like an altcoin season. As soon as Bitcoin starts to range, you can sometimes get an altcoin season. So, but at the same time, we can also, a lot of these altcoins are up a lot, particularly some of the meme coins, so they could also get smashed. So just be a bit more aware. I don't think you should be dialing it to 11 on the risk metrics. Even now, like, we haven't just immediately bounced back to all-time highs, right? Like, we're kind of just hanging out at 68K, and I think we could very easily go back lower again, even today. So just be aware this doesn't feel like the other dips. This feels slightly, there's slightly more to it than the other ones. What we did see was that Solana needs to go absolutely insane. Yeah. So Solana, hit an all-time high in terms of market cap. Obviously, there's been some, as we spoke about in this show, like there's been some emissions since the last time. It all sounds like that block that was from FTX is seemingly very likely to have cleared, or the financing's basically been done. So we kind of said that that would happen the moment that got cleared, it would probably explode higher. And we saw that kind of happen. But this is something that it's not like it's happened in a vacuum. Obviously, the vast majority of activity has been happening on Solana over the last, at least on the coin side, over the last few months. And this kind of felt like a bit of a coiled spring before that. So I think there's a real reason why it's kind of hitting all-time highs. This isn't just some random pump. Like this is definitely the adoption period for Solana. A lot of people saying, like, you know, ETH had the adoption curve last cycle. This feels like a lot of people are using it. So it's definitely feels different than some of the altcoins. It's really cementing itself as like a major now, I think, which is interesting to see. And then in terms of what people are making money on, I think there's only really one thing on everyone's lips, which is this loan thing. I have never seen anything like this. The only time that this reminds me of something is Pepe. But to be clear, like, Pepe took a long time to even get to 100 million. Like, you could have seen Pepe. Like, Pepe spent some time at 10, 20, 30, 50, then back to 20, then up to 100, and then it started to pick up pace. This Dark Farms thing happened in a day, has hit $500 million market cap in a day. So you're seeing crazy stories across the timeline, because obviously this really did emerge kind of from the NFT community, because Dark Farms is well known in the NFT community and it maybe isn't as known in broader crypto. So a lot of big wins in the NFT space. And, you know, I sold mine way too early, way too early. When it hit 60, I sold it. And it's done another 10x since then, mainly on the back of, I think it's probably got a market maker behind it, but I can't really tell. And it definitely got some listings, some very, very big listings behind it at the moment. So, you know, with the volumes that it's doing, to put it in perspective, let's bring up like a deck screener right now. Like,
I definitely have that open. Let me tell you that. There you go.
Boom. So what volume is it doing?
$391 million volume.
Yeah. And that's just on one pair, right? That's just the Boom Soul pair. So like, I wonder if CoinGecko has got like the volume across all
of them. I'm sure. Let me see here. Man, I have to say, this is insane. Like, this is insane.
I've never seen anything like this.
This is going to be one of my best trades I've ever
just done. 500 million of volume in spot over the last 24 hours. Like, that's
wild.
Yeah. That is huge.
That's fucking really, crazy. Really,
like, if I was to bring up the top coins across, that probably beats most major meme coins.
Well, it is. No, you said it. Look at this post. Ranked 25th. It was ranked 20. Right. That was this morning at 8 a.m. It was ranked 26th by 20 on 24-hour volume in crypto.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane. Like,
how do you see by volume? So
my people are asking, like, what the hell has happened here? Because this is not regular. You know, like, artist launches meme coin doesn't just automatically go to 500 million. You've had parallels in the past. Like, Turbo had a big run, if you remember, and that kind of came from the NFT community and went up to 300 million. But that, again, that took a while. This has gone to 500 million in a day and got major listings almost within hours. Like, the first ones was like 6 hours old. So really, really crazy. And now it's just got, it feels like it could get some major listings, right?
Like, I mean, it got, right? Like, it got Crypto.com this morning, which is not major, but it's still good. It got Bybit Web3 last night, posted about it, that it was going to go live today. That's when I went, like, last night, I saw Bybit tweet at, like, midnight. Like, fuck it. Like, this is going to be ridiculous. Because Bybit, okay, KuCoin, like, you get into this territory, then, you know, the usual, hopefully the Western ones, like, the Krakens and the Coinbases could catch on down the line. But, like, Gemini as well. But, like, dude, like, it got Bybit and it got KuCoin, bro. KuCoin went live. Or is going live, and KuCoin is usually like a pretty big one too, right? If I'm not mistaken, they don't just list. And so, are we getting Binance? Well, I mean, this is our first show. There is like 1,000+ people watching us live on Binance right now. Shout out to you guys. But like, are we gonna go? Are you guys gonna list it or what? Are we like, this is crazy? Like, We got the Beeple when Bomi TF. Of course, Sims is putting that on the screen. Let me get you guys this information here. So Gate went right away, but that's, you know, whatever. Then KuCoin 6 hours ago posted. It goes, oh, it's not even live yet. It goes like a four. What's 14 UTC?
2 p.m. 2 p.m.
Your time, right? So it went 2 p.m. live.
My time, yeah. So it'll be.
So it was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was less than an hour ago. What do we think, boys? Like, what's like? Did you guys? The guy who sent 420.69 SOL to this is up to like nearly like 7 to 9 million dollars. Like, surely this is going to be one of the most insane returns ever seen, right?
Yeah, I don't even want to know what my bag would be worth if I kept it.
How much did you send originally?
A few thousand.
Okay, let's not look into that then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Yeah. You know, you're cooking everywhere, but
that's just classic bull market shit, right? Like, everyone, you can just crush it on this stuff.
Let's pause on this for a second, right? Like, this is the thing happening right now, the most major thing happening in all crypto at the moment. Are we gonna get like this like meta again? Like, it's already starting. All the scammers are out there. Putting pre-sale addresses, and saying send this to that. It could be dangerous. It's both great and dangerous, right?
So if someone did an NFT collection, are they a scammer or not a scammer?
Pardon?
I'm just saying, like, it's an artist who made a coin, right? Mm. I think a bunch of artists here who might be like, oh, I should launch a coin. In last cycle, they did NFTs, right? Uh-huh. They would launch an NFT collection. If they now launch a coin, is that somehow worse? Is that something make them a scammer, you think?
What I meant by that, Mando, is mostly like there's going all the scammers are gonna come out of the weeds for that one. That's what I meant.
I think we're all like questioning ourselves slightly here though, right? Because it's like, why is this different morally than like what other people have done in the past with pre-sales? Like, why does this feel better? And like, it is weird how it's just like a token standard basically changes our view of this. Like, this is just an artist who basically did a pre-sale, and if that was done by the wrong person, we'd be like, oh my god, that's so terrible. But this has been done by him, and I do wonder like if this cycle will start to see like people now experiment with shitcoins. Like, obviously shitcoins are, most of them go to zero, as do most NFTs, but there's no like artistic premise, I guess, as he is pumping out like memes and stuff, but I don't know. It's like, it's just weird. I see a lot of people having like a moral quandary with this on the timeline.
I think it's because.
What do you think, Ovi? You're an artist. Are you going to drop an artist token? Please let me know if you do.
Exactly. Everyone wants to.
I think what you have to understand is the difference between selling NFTs and doing a coin is. In the regulatory landscape, NFTs so far are not securities. They're just like non-fungible and they're pieces of art, whatever they are. But tokens can definitely be securities. And so when people do this pre-sales type stuff, and if you don't promise anything on the back of it, then it's fine. It's kind of just, it's fine. It's like, send this ETH to this wallet and we'll give you a token. But, you know, as soon as they start constituting things like, oh, we're going to go out there and build a debt. So we're gonna,
if you gonna, promise things, that's where it becomes.
Yeah. But even if you don't promise, we're just all saying that, right? Like, we just don't really know. It's all just up to up to the SEC, like what they decide and go ahead and do. Because you're still, even though you're not promising anything, you are basically promising you will return to them a token off the back of it, right? So you are getting something that is then a fungible token, is like a tradable speculative instrument, which is very different to like buying an NFT, which is a piece of art. So I think there has to be some, you know, a little bit of caution on that, especially for US-based people.
US-based artists, please don't just see Dark Farms and think you should do that right away. You're right though about the standard. You guys are right about the standard, because I remember when Gary Gensler tried to come after the Blaze Cats, right? The Stone Cats, Blaze Cats, forgot. Stone Cats?
Blaze Cats, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those, and then Hester Pierce, our goat.
Stoner Cats.
Hester Pierce for chair of the SEC. She actually wrote an article saying that she disagrees with the SEC's stand on NFTs constituting securities, in that we should not go down that route. So you do make a really good point. when it comes to like the token standard being different between launching a 721 and a ERC20 because there is difference. Maybe not everyone.
It was from a legal standpoint. I think people are questioning it even from like an ethical standpoint. It's such a weird. I don't even know what my answer is on this, but it is so weird how people's views of different tokens are like so.
I think the views are changing, right? Like
we spoke about this even internally, right? Like why is like suddenly shitcoin devs treated like pariahs versus others? And I think obviously there is a lot more. There is more scamming. Maybe in the shitcoin space, like everyone, there's grifting everywhere. Like people, but if top artists decide to start launching their own coins, which are maybe backed by their art, I don't know. Like maybe we do see a bit more of that this cycle, and I think we've got to work out like is that ethically wrong or not? Because I think a lot of artists are going to think about doing something.
Let me ask you something. Is Flooring Protocol and Wasabi and all these protocols that are turning your NFTs into tokens morally wrong? The answer is no, right? We've seen NFT collections become almost coins at this stage, right? Like Flooring Protocol is literally that. Like Flooring Protocol is taking an NFT collection and turning it into a coin, right? Is that, I think that's it, right? Yeah. It was like Mew BAYC, Mew Penguins, Mew this, Mew that, right? Like, same thing. Like if it's backed by art, like if it's I don't know. I think this is where like and what I like and I what I appreciate about you guys and I think I'm similar here is like we're in a position in this market where like the holier than thou like NFTs are good, coins are bad kind of attitude is like really doesn't have a place here. I think you know what I mean. Like I don't know. It's just it's a weird thing. You're right. Like there's like this moral. question between people right now, like, hey, shit, like we're seeing this. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Ovi? I feel like you have like a take on this.
I personally love the financialization of art because for me that's like a two things that I enjoy intersecting. But it's not for everyone. And for me it's less really about like the morals or the ethics behind it. Like, you know, there's an argument to say, yes, like how different is Dark Farms thing to Bend.eth thing? But I think it's very different because Dark Farms has produced like amazing quality art and memes for a very long time. And it's almost like people are going to that pre-sale because like they love what he does. They're doing it out of respect, right? And obviously there's an element of speculation to it as well. Whereas Bend.eth, it's not like, I don't think anyone in the world was really like, oh my God, I really respect Bend.eth and everything that he's done in crypto. So people were just going there to speculate or going there because they're brainwashed. So I think even though the act of what they're doing is perhaps there's some similarities, I do think the intentions behind it are very different. And I do think the reason why people put the money in is also somewhat different.
I would agree.
Completely different, but somewhat different.
I think they're different. Those two are different. But let's say another artist now comes out and says, hey, I want to do this. Is that bad?
I think
like that's the question, I think, because I'm like, I don't really know what's going on here. Like, why, if somebody else now says, hey, I've seen what Dark Farms did, like, yeah, he's a great artist, he's been around here for a long time, it was smart, great timing to do it, people obviously went in because they like him, but also they wanted to have the speculation. Like, let's be honest, everyone who put in for that pre-sale was like, this coin's gonna do a fucking
I
love
Dark Farms. I'm a huge fan of his and my PFP is Dark Farms, but mind you, I did not buy into pre-sale to support the art,
right? Exactly. And if he'd done a piece of art, he's not like his pieces of art were selling, like I think he was getting, so
he's selling,
I know, but it wasn't like now, it's not like it was trading for hundreds of millions.
I know what you mean. I know it's also really hard to come about Dark Farm art because it's not like he doesn't drop art a lot. Like it's really, really hard to come across as art.
I think we're basically going to see a load of artists trying to do this now. I think we've got to work out if they're going to be chastised for basically just trying to do the same thing.
From me, no. From the moral higher ups of crypto art, maybe. I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't think us three are in a position. Like, I don't think we're the type of people to like be that like that. You know what I mean?
I don't understand the difference.
I will literally, and that's to each their own. You can put the opinions on your own thing here, Sam. So it's not opinions of Rug Radio. I will ape into every single presale. I don't care. I see a presale on the timeline. I just put one soul into everything. I don't care. There you go.
We did the open edition meta, if you remember that.
I don't care. I don't care. Like, it hits, it hits. You know what I mean? I'd be more wary of, you know what? What's more wary of is let them do what they want to do if they want to do it. Like, who are we to, like, tell them not to do it, right? But, like, be careful promoting something and then it goes to zero and you're wrecked. So it's mostly on the person where, like, the moral thing happens, Mando, I think, is like, yo, like, as someone with the following and stuff, be careful what you're going to, like, push out and stuff like that, right? I think it's just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than the person putting it out, especially if you're depending where you're based in your jurisdiction. That's how I would see it. Mando is typing a message right now.
Yeah, I personally am a bit cautious on it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Anyways, guys, Solana's really going for it. Do we, like, this overhang on Sol is really, like, the whole market went, like, ETH is 3,700. Bitcoin 68.5. Solana's like 183 right now, boys. This, are we going to get an insane meme weekend right now on Solana? Like, what do we think? Like, this is going to get really silly this weekend, I feel. What does he guys think here?
I think Solana's going to go 200 very, very quick. I've been saying this long time.
All of us have been bullish Sol for a long time. But yeah.
I do not it like really diverged from how much people were using it recently. You know, like, an OSF really picked the timing on it, which was once we found out that this FTX piece was going to sell, like, it just became very, very obvious that once that cleared, it was going to move. But, like, right now it really does have a strong narrative for it, and the strong narrative is that it's being used. So, like, it is, and a lot of different apps are now moving there. So, like, its use case is only increasing. ETH clearly has bigger TVL over its L2 ecosystem. It has more users and use cases, but people like just being on the one chain, right? Like you said, like, why would I bridge? I can just be on Solana. And that is just a really, really powerful narrative. And it's just a very different narrative to ETH. So, like, they can both pump for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think, look, it just hit 100 billion FTV.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
So, and ETH's at about 500 billion. Bitcoin's obviously over a trillion.
I love that.
I don't know. No, I really don't know where this can go. But, like, if I don't see in the next year, maybe even the next couple, why people would stop using it. Like, remember, the next narrative is here. You got to think, like, why is it being driven? It's being driven by use cases. And for me, that's only increasing right now in Solana. Like, people are using it more and more and more. More dApps are being built there. And it's very competitive from a relative standpoint. It's I think it's even more costly now than some of the L2s, but, like, people prefer it because it's less disjointed. Yeah. And then you have the main issue is obviously it went down again, right, recently. But then now they have the new client in Firedancer coming up. And that's a very strong narrative again. So then you get to this idea that if it can go through a period of not going down again, and they obviously get this new, they get Firedancer coming up, which will make it much more difficult for that to happen. You can get very bullish. Like, you can get to Rao Paul level bullish on Solana if the number of users continue in the way they are. Like, I don't see this meme coin season just, like, stopping on Solana. It's wild. And I think the things behind it is in the very cheap transactions allow you to do a lot of different things. So the long-term drivers of Solana are now going to be users. And I think that's only up only here. Maybe next bull, we have another narrative, like maybe Monad comes out, or maybe something like Say gets to scale and gets a ton of users. But it feels as though they're going to stay on Solana right now. And I think it's super, they've got some of the easy onboarding processes and things like Jupiter and the phone and all these different things. I just feel like, yeah, I think that can continue. And I think it can continue to kind of push ahead in terms of users and volume. So okay. I think it's had a very big run. Do I think this is over? No, like, not by a long, long way. I think this is a medium-term trend for Solana. That's just my view on it.
I mean, let's talk about, and Pravjin just, you know, avid listener of the show, shout out to them, tagged me on this, and I wanted to go there. Parallel yesterday made a huge announcement, and the token went to above $22. And to my surprise, you know, they've been building on Base, right? The game that they're launching, the other game in the AI coin, is going to be on Solana. That is like, that is a major, major, major announcement, if you ask me.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Solana's huge.
Obviously, you need to go where the users are and where the fees are cheapest. And right. A lot of gaming will choose Solana because that's where it's happening. Like, I think anyone who's building anything right now is thinking, should it go on Solana? Because that's like, if you're launching a coin on anything right now, you're thinking, well, all the users are on Solana right now. Should I launch it there, or should I launch it on an L2, or should I launch it? But Solana's winning, going to win a lot of these fights. Like the ones that don't need funding, because a lot of the L2s, Solana doesn't have the grant funding that a lot of these L2s are doing. But the ones that don't really need that, and maybe are funded in a different way, like, yeah, a lot of them will choose to go where the users are right now.
I totally agree with that. Breaking news, Parallel TCG will launch their AI power game, Parallel Colony, on Solana. AI agents will be able to autonomously transact on-chain in this entirely new kind of survival game. This is huge news, if you ask me, on the Solana side, because it's just showing that people are actually going back now. Not back, because it's not like they left Solana to go back. They weren't on Sol to start with. But it's an Ethereum native company, right? Parallel Gaming, right? Started with the Parallel cards on ETH, Base, you know, Optimism. Now, like, building the next... And by the way, AI power, dude. Nothing says dreams more than that. I love that, dude. Hold on. AI powered game, dude. Like, it's like, hold on. I got it for you. Hold on. Dreams.
To be fair, a lot of people had owned Prime, the token.
A lot, dude. The homie, like, I'm so happy for Sobi and these, and like the people that believed, and like a lot of OG, like a lot of the OG, like NFT crowd, like have been really fucking deep in Parallel, man. Like very, very deep. So you'll have to see that, which, by the way, makes me think, I've been talking to the founders to get them on. Sims, I know you're listening to this. Please remind me, or Bernie, I'm such an asshole, but I got to get them on. I'm dying to get them on. Like, they're such chat builders, honestly. Like, to me, like, I think some of the best there's been in the space so far. So they're killing it. Anyways. So that was another news as well that happened. I see Nate Alex in the studio. What's up, Nate? And hang tight. Just a reminder, pinned at the top is the Twitter Spaces link. For our new Binance Live listeners, we are live on Twitter Spaces, and that's where we do our giveaways. So you have to retweet the Twitter space, okay? And we're going to pick three winners today. Why? Because one is going to get a Native's WTF allow list spot, and the other two are each going to get a $5,000 Robit loot box spins. And all you have to do is follow FOMO Hour, follow Robit, and follow, we'll do Nate Alex today. So you got to follow Nate Alex NFT on X as well. All right. To the 2,600 viewers on video, make sure you move there. Well, not move there, but also get live on Spaces, because that's where we pick. And make sure you retweet the room. Let's get these numbers up for the legend that we're about to get on the stage. And besides that, I mean, before I get to Nate here and bring him up, boys, I mean, there was Pac Moon, right, Ovi? I think, did that, what happened there in the end? I know you're probably more tapped in than me in that front. It launched. I know there was some bugs at the beginning. Normal. That's not a blast thing. It's like everywhere. But like, then what?
I think it just launched. I don't really.
Okay.
There wasn't really a big, I think there are other things.
I thought you made like another $10 million on that.
I don't even know how much I made. I haven't checked.
I wonder, okay, you can claim it on the airdrop. So again, be careful, everyone. You know, airdrops, yada, yada, yada. When you claim, there's a lot of scams, but it looks like the Pac Moon thing that we talked about is live now. And you can now buy it. And the other thing, I mean, look, like Pepe Whiff still on the move up with Bloomberg listing it on the left curve side of the space. I mean, did you guys, we all missed Peng. Like, this one token went to $160 million. Like, that is crazy. Obviously, Bohm is still running. Hot NFTs, I mean, Parallel Avatars running on the back of the Parallel news with Solana. Prime is up another 15%. That's not really left curve, if you ask me. That's very right curve. But it cooked. Love to see that. You know, Avalanche Foundation, you know, speaking of left curving, announcing again that their meme coin holdings. When is the Arbitrum Foundation going to do that? I'm waiting. I saw SciChat post about it yesterday. Shout out to our partners at Arbitrum. But Foundation discloses, this is great. Guys, can you believe this timeline?
They own some hilarious coins, man.
Let's go look at what they own. You know what? I'm bringing Nate up. Nate, what's up? I'm bringing you up for this because I see you laughing in the background.
This is funny as shit, man.
This is crazy. What do they own? Where did they announce what they own? Like what? Where's their,
is
they
the own, It's like five different tickers, and they all are.
So they own Cock Inu. We know Cock because that's the AVAX chick coin, right? Like that's the one. Like everyone knows about Cock. They own Gecko, Kimbo, No Chill, and Tech. Each selected based on stringent criteria that underscore a commitment to Avalanche and fair Web3 practices. I mean, are you guys reading this?
I know, it's wild.
The meme coin devs have committed fair Web3 practices. What timeline is this?
It's the great one. It's the best one, man.
All these different foundations are going to stop buying shitcoins. See any,
I love it. I think this is great. What is your takes on Mando? What do you think? I personally, I know I'm laughing about this. I think this is awesome. I think this is freaking awesome because it'll push all the other foundations to have to do it. You know who it's awesome for? Me, you, the listener. Because Now all the foundations gonna have to pump our shit bags, right? And that's just how it is. I don't make the rules, right? Like, what do you think, Mando? What do you think, Ovi? What do you think, Nate? Let's go to you, Mando, first. Ovi, Nate, and then let's roll into to natives and what you're up to, Nate. But Mando, what do you think about this? Are all the foundations about to pump meme coins here?
I think they will. Like for a while. Like it's very, very clear that this is one of the best ways to get users on it, right? So I think this is going to be a definitely used by all the main ones.
Oh my god, what do you think over here? What do you think about foundations? The very serious foundations that have monstrous treasuries pumping our the meme coin bags.
I mean, it's great, as you said, it's great for me and you and people like us, but just feels fucking dodgy, doesn't it? Just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Something about that doesn't feel sustainable. It just feels like it's going to end in tears. Like, what are you going to do when it's the end of the cycle? It's a bear market and you're sitting there earning a fucking shitload of shit coins, right? Like, it just doesn't seem like that's not how I would build a blockchain. Like, I get it. You want meme coin activity to drive users, but I think just buying like the foundation, buying tokens on that chain, I don't think is solving the problem they're trying to solve. I think it's a very myopic way to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. What do you think, Nate? You've been around for a minute. You've lived a few cycles. Did you once think that these foundations would come and do something like that?
Man, dude, at this point, you never really know what the hell is going to happen. It just is always surprising you. Like, I think, there probably will be copycats, especially if they're successful with their stringent shitcoining. And, I think it's a copycat space. We'll see more do it. And yeah, I mean, it's good for us. And, to OSF's point, I mean, it kind of always ends in tears. That's sort of where we go after the big fun part. The party's just starting. A lot of people are going to make a shit ton of money, and then,
Yeah, I agree. I mean, let's segue. I mean, may as well chat with you about all this stuff. You've been around. When did you join crypto? Because you're an NFT like OG. But like, when did you join crypto as a whole?
So it was pretty short. Like, I haven't been in crypto that much longer than NFTs. It was just pretty much 2017. And then probably 3 months after that, I was buying my first NFT. So yeah, I mean, at that point, I had like $1,000 in, and I was like flipping crypto kitties for $1 or $2 and shit. And it was just kind of like a way to like, maybe I can make a little extra cash. Maybe I can make 100 extra a week or some shit. It wasn't like I ever thought this will turn into, like, I'll get rich from this. I hoped, but I never.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So let's hear the origin story though, right? Like, I know the NFT Twitter crowd, like obviously like everybody knows of Nate Alex. I can't wait to talk about natives and see what you're up to. But you know, let's talk a little bit about the lore. I know you were on Rekt. You guys did Rekt Radio, right? I think Nate Alex was on Rekt Radio before. But like, what tell us more. Tell us more about what you saw in NFTs early on, and like what made you really want to get in. Also, I want to know like, what do you see now, right? Like, of course, like the thing being flooded the most here is NFTs with all these coins going crazy. Honestly, also curious on the conversation we had before and your take. Like, we talk about artist coins and if this meta going to be a thing. Do you think from a moral standpoint, like, there's a big difference between ERC-20 and 721? Like, you know, let's go there. Like, what's your thought about the state of the NFT space here? And what do you think we go from there?
So, I mean, I remember, you know, 2020, I remember going to ETH Denver conference. That was my first conference that I went to. Crypto is pretty dead at this point. ETH is probably like $250 or something like that. And that was a high from the month before, like 2x already. So at that point, I was like one of only like two NFT teams there. Everybody there was focused on DeFi. And I'm like, I had been in NFTs at this point, you know, for 3 years. Basically, what happened in 2018 is I was a noob. I get on Twitter. I look for the big accounts that have a lot of followers.
Classic.
Because, you know, they know what they're talking about, right? And then I follow all their shitcoin advice. I lose like 95%, 99% on some coins. Like, no, dude, lost fucking everything. Although it was maybe at the peak, like 12, 15,000, something like that. And by the end of the year, I mean, it's nothing. It was literally just dust left. And then I borrowed against my 401k because at this point I'd been collecting NFTs and I knew there was something deeper and like kind of stickier there. And I'd cashed out all of my shit coins for 90% losses into ETH, which also lost 90%. But I knew that it was like, this is the platform that enables NFTs. This is actually, there's something bigger here. So I borrowed against my 401k, bought ETH with it. And this is at the bottom, dude, like $80, $90. Like, fuck yeah. I mean, got lucky maybe. But anyway, so fast forward to 2020. I'm one of the few NFT groups there because most people just didn't believe in them. They didn't see any future for them. And I've seen this before. We saw it, you know, where people go, well, you don't need a token or you don't need an NFT because a shitcoin, that's just a shitcoin with the picture. This a shitcoin, you can just do the shitcoins. And, you know, I see that and it goes in circles. Like, generally speaking, I think that retail, when they come in, they don't come in as jaded as we are. They don't, it's hard for them to look at something that literally all of us accept as kind of a valueless but fun game to play. For them, they're like, why will this be big? And they're like, okay, this, they may become the next Nike, or maybe this will be the next Picasso. And that's like what I think retail tends to kind of gravitate towards. And that's why I think NFTs became so big whenever they came in a big way after Top Shot.
Yeah, it's really wild. And so the Top Shot era was crazy. I mean, pretty much fair to say, I think Top Shot started a lot of the run, obviously mixed with $69 million sale of Beeple's One of One, you know, stuff like that kind of help on a catalyst level. How do you feel about now? Like, you know, of course, like, you know, I think on the crypto art side, it's the lowest felt sentiment wise, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's feeling very low from at least my standpoint and like what I'm reading on the timeline. ETH NFT specifically is very like on the grim side, right? When the face of it, like the board ape, like ETH NFT thing goes sub 15. Of course, Punks for me will always be the face of Ethereum NFTs, right? It's different, but you know, that also, like, you know, to the retail, like 2021 is really board apes. And stuff like that, not looking well. Of course, ordinals are a different narrative. I think Solana NFTs is even a different narrative. But how do you feel here about the state of like Ethereum ecosystem and its NFTs right now?
It's weak. I mean, it got oversaturated. It's not really a high bar to launch like the kind of what I would consider kind of a basic NFT where, you know, and this is kind of the playbook that people realize. They realize you can hire an artist for $20,000. You can hire a smart contract dev that can clone a contract, not do anything fancy. You can hire somebody to build your front. You can hire all that stuff out for pretty cheap. And if you can like kind of just be a project manager and build a little bit of hype on the timeline using like engagement farming tactics, all of which, you know, we know some of the techniques that are used. You see them, you know, like tag three people and shit like that. You can kind of snowball a successful sale of $1 million for not a lot of work and not a lot of overhead. And that happened. And that's why there's a fuck ton of NFTs, because people saw that opportunity. And that's why now there's just so much supply and people are confused by what is good and what isn't, or like what may be around in 10 years. For me, you know, and I know most people don't have the patience to think about 10 years. Like you see like autoglyphs in 10 years, people will still remember them. They still will care about them and they will probably be even more valuable then. So there are winners in there. I just think what happened is people didn't really understand them and they were building them and they were pushing them out, and people that were collecting them didn't really understanding them. And a lot of the talking heads didn't understand what they were talking about. So it just was a massive bubble. I really, really genuinely believe that there's like an art renaissance happening here. There will be pieces that we get to collect that in the future, people will be like, I can't believe you were around when that fucking launched. Or I can't believe you bought that for $1,000 or even $10,000. That stuff like that is going to be created and we have the opportunity to create it and to collect them. And I think that is what's really kind of special here.
Yeah, no, that's a really good take. I love that. So let's talk about what you're up to then, because you're not giving up on ETH NFTs. You're not giving up on it. Natives have been, dude, you've been talking about this forever on the timeline. Now, what is going on? What is Natives NFT, Nate Alex? And of course, thank you so much, dude, for of course, like considering both our communities, Rug Radio and Red Guy, in that. I know Bernie had to do all of that in the back end and select winners, which is super cool. Like on our, like we really made sure to pick people that are active, people who want to hold, who want to add value. Like he went deep, you know, and to see like, you know, who are like really the most active, loyal community members so that they can really support what you're doing. But like what's Natives? What's happening? I love the brand. You're really good at this stuff. You're really good at all this NFT.
Learned a little bit over the years. I mean, I've done a few projects. I feel like all of them had their weaknesses. And honestly, all the ones that I've done before I launched them, I felt like I should do something about this. And with Natives, I'm not going to say that it's easily my favorite project that I've ever created by like so far. It is like the aesthetic I think is good. I think the story, the way the mechanisms will play out and work. I really think that it's going to be unique and people who experience it are going to be like, wow, I genuinely didn't know you could do this with NFTs. And that's my goal. I don't want to like think about, well, is the floor price going to be 100 ether? Like, that'd be great. I mean, don't get me wrong. That'd be fucking awesome. Cause then people would be like high-fiving me on the streets and shit, but like,
or not on the way down, because there's always a way down.
Right.
You know, they were high-fiving, you know, every top project on 2021, and they're destroying them on a timeline now. So careful what you wish for.
You get to be the hero for a little bit, and then it's just. But like with Natives, I really wanted to.
Ah. There you go. Go on. Sorry. That's your website doing that sound.
Yeah. I want people to notice it. So that's why like the marketing is kind of in your face. I'm not trying to be like overly like engagement farmy with it. I'm just genuinely trying to share stuff because there is a lot of stuff here. I mean, there's, you know, there obviously there's the ETH NFT. There's the Bitcoin ordinal, the monolith component. There's the game. There's the physical piece. So like there's all these components that I don't think you can do like a 50 or 100 tweet with like every fucking detail. Nobody's going to read it. No, or 10 people will read it. Like, so the best way for me to do it is just slowly kind of share it over the course of what I've been doing the last month and a half. And still, I know people are still missing a lot of information, and I'll wrap it all up. And I want to make sure that all the information is out there. I want I want to show an example of the monoliths, but I can't show what they will look like because they depend on what you do in the game. So the monolith, I'll just say, is basically you play this mini, it's this game, social game experience. It lasts for up to 9 days, kind of depending on how your tribe does. But the monolith starts as basically nothing. It's just in what the stuff that you do is what kind of creates the piece. I mean, we've kind of dialed it in at the smart contract level, but it creates all the JavaScript and the HTML for the piece based on what you're doing. So if you're like being super greedy, then that should be reflected in your piece. If your tribe is just absolute shit and you die off early, that'll be reflected. So like it will feel like, it should feel like kind of an artistic representation of your life in the natives game. Like, that's the goal. So okay. It's quite a bit different than what I think people are used to. I know people are more used to, like, you know, you launch and then you make promises like, this is what we're going to do when we get the money. For me, we're just going to build everything at the very beginning before we launch. So that way, everything that I'm saying we'll do will have already been done and it'll all happen.
So when do we get to, like, so two questions. Of course, I love the website, and that's what's kind of been going viral. It's like this, the size of the names from what I picked up is based on the size of your account. Though I was told that it was actually on the size of, anyways. So you have the names, which I didn't know that you could click on them on the account and it leads directly to them. So I love that you did that. You integrated them. What's that little like check on next to some names?
So the check is that we have collected your address. Every person on the list I've personally talked to and have invited, and they've accepted it. It's not like I just put big names on the list and then I hope that they'll participate. Every person I've talked to here, but I haven't gotten everybody's address. For some reason, when I like started the process, I didn't think that it would be smart to collect the addresses. I thought, I'll just circle back and get them. And that's like, well, I planned on us doing like a Twitter authentication thing. And then it just became like, when we looked at all the scope of the work that we still have left to do, it's like, fuck it. I'll just pick them up manually because I've got to go through DMs anyways. We don't have time to like, and I've been told that that's actually fairly easy, but there's still quite a bit of work left to be done, if I'm being honest, like quite a lot. We'll get there. But my planned date is like, basically end of March, late March. And that's the timeline we're driving towards. I think that we'll hit it, but I basically will just be working nonstop until then, which is fine.
Yeah. That's sick. I need to collect you, Mando. You got to send this man your address. I think OSF you too, because we didn't have a check mark next to our names on there. I just checked. I gotta get you my Farouk.eth. You know,
I saved OSF's mint because Nate was like, OSF hasn't replied to me, and I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I think
actually,
he doesn't.
we got three Ret Guy mints. We gave him to the Ret Guy.
You did not answer him. I put him in the chat with Bernie, okay, and then we got the Ret Guy mints. Okay, so shout out Burn Dog who asked me to ask you. If he can get a list spot himself, but anyways, it's true. I told Night Alex come on the show, and he did say OSF, not Amanda. OSF did answer his DMs. So get your shit together, OV. Okay.
go ahead. He was one of the first people to respond, actually. But I think what had happened is for some reason, like I had there were two lists, and then they got merged. Some people got deleted. I'm like, I know I gave OSF a spot and his name's not on the fucking list. And did I give him a spot? And then I'm like, we have like this list of people that said they had a spot. And for like OSF, he was on there. And it was like, the reason why is like, well, he's OSF. Like, we're pretty sure we gave him a spot. And some other people were like winners of like community contests and stuff. But the merge fucked some shit up. Hopefully people aren't going to be too disappointed. I wouldn't be surprised if two or three names slip through the cracks. Unfortunately, I mean, it's been a heavily manual process. I want to be the one to invite people. People are like, just have somebody else do it. I'm like, well, this is like my like personal, very, very personal project. I want to, you know, sort of hand slip to people. I think that feels that the right way to do it.
Yeah, fill you on that.
You know. Yeah, I saw your tweet about that, dude. It's just,
yeah.
Fuck, I don't know, man. I get that you could have somebody else send them out. It just doesn't feel quite as good. Like if your assistant goes, hey, mate,
it feels less authentic, right? It's like, it's not really. Yeah. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah. It's like for both of us, you know, not to whatever, but like we have a big audience. We can sell out, you know, we can generate hype around almost anything that we're going to create. Even if it wasn't good, we could still do that. And so like for this, it's not about like filling out the list. It's not about selling out. Like that is kind of trivial at this point. It's more about let's select the right people who I think will have the right audience, have people that will participate and people that can, you know, understand and enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it, man.
I'm excited for anything you do, because like you're just genuinely like such a cool dude in the space, and you've been around. Hopefully the Avalanche Foundation buys your Mooncats at some point, but like the Ethereum Foundation. But you know, like I just think Nate Alex is like one of the coolest people in the space, and there's probably like a lot of people coming into the space that are probably new, like, oh, why is this getting a lot of attention? Why is there like 1,000 likes per tweet on the Native's WTF post? It's because this guy's been giving back forever, dude. So like you've been collecting fire shit. You're an OG in the space, OG Punk, Autoglyphs, whatever, you name it. You've been there since day one. So it's really cool to see what's going on. When I just saw the time, so we got to go to the giveaways and the Robit spins, but like when is this expected to go live? Like, is there anything you can give us? Like, what should people like expect now?
So I'm going to announce the price pretty soon. My hope is that people will look at it and go, that feels like pretty great relative value. I know that if I did like a Dutch auction, I could maximize this in other ways. That's not really the focus. I want people to feel like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. I don't want to go too deep in that, but I'm going to announce that pretty soon. I'm going to announce the date pretty soon. I'm going to share what the generative art outputs actually could look like, the monolith. I'm still kind of finalizing that design, but I've got something that I think is really good. You know, I think about it sometimes. I'm like, why do I do this shit to myself? Why don't I just do something fucking easy? Just make the generative art and just sell it at fucking whatever. It would sell out and I could do like 90% less work. But I hope that this extra effort and work will make it worth it. But I'll be sharing hopefully basically everything that you would need to know before mint, probably within the next week. And then you'd have at least a week to think about it if for some reason you felt that the value wasn't there.
Yeah, this is gonna be exciting, man. Like for everybody listening, make sure you follow Nate Alexander.